Last week, I preached on David and Goliath and how we all find ourselves at times having to fight battles we don't want to fight. And I hope that it was meaningful to you. It better have been. I preached 50 minutes. So you're thinking, well, that's not unusual. It felt unusual to me. But, we all have to find ourselves in battles that we don't want to fight. And in that valley, on that mountainside where Saul was, that was the last place he wanted to be, and it was the last battle he ever wanted to fight. Because he knew that if he went out there, he wasn't going to win. But God sent David. And David went out, and we all know the story, the rest of the story. There are some people here that we're going to hear from this morning who have found themselves in battles that they didn't necessarily want to fight. And we're going to hear from them. So I'm going to, Stan, would you bring those two stools over? And Brian, would you grab me some water? I'm on some medication that just dries me out. So, off stage. So I'm going to invite Robert to come on up and Corinne. Keith and Corinne were both going to share, but for whatever reason, Keith's general said that he needed to be in Yakima this weekend. And I said, tell him that he has better things to do. But that didn't work. So you can go ahead and just pull right on upside there, and you can sit here, Corinne. And these are two folks that I have grown to love. I've known Corinne for since 2006, when they came here, and then they got called away to Hawaii. And I've known my brother Robert since what? Well, thank you very much. Since June? June? And a very, very dear brother, and with a very colorful past. God has brought him a long way. And they're going to share a little bit. I'm going to grab this mic here. Just about what God has done. And I gave them three questions. So we're going to kind of dialogue through these three questions here. I'm going to ask Corinne to go first. Can't go forth yet. But Corinne, you and Keith weathered some real storms in the last couple of years. And why don't you tell us a little bit about those storms and how did God meet you and what did he teach you in the midst of that? Tell us your story there.
Okay, so I wasn't going to cry, but that song just brought it
up. We better
all
get
home.
Some Kleenexes up here.
I brought one. Thank you. I'll take another. Keith and I have been married for about, actually 11 years on the 3rd of March. And him being in the military and specifically Special Forces has been really challenging on our marriage. We both have been married before and we both bring kids from past. So the odds are against us statistically. And being in the Army and Special Forces just kind of made it worse. He's gone over that time more than 50% of the time of our marriage. So a lot of miscommunications, a lot of challenges, a lot of struggles. And we each bring things from our past into the marriage that we just never dealt with. I wasn't a believer when we were married, but shortly after, we had people praying for us, and God brought me into his family. So grateful that the very beginning of our marriage that I knew Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and he's been the foundation of it all since then. So fast forward to being in Hawaii. He was in a job that he was gone more than like 75% of the time. And although Hawaii should be a fun place, and I did have a lot of fun, our marriage was horrible. And every time he was home, we argued, and I just felt bad for Caleb and anyone around because we just we couldn't stand each other. It was easier when he was gone. I felt worthless. I was in depression. And I just felt like I was in this marriage and I was crying out to God. But my husband didn't love me. So there was a point where I made him move out. And it was just really the darkest storm in my life. But what he has done is, through all of that, I praise God that I know him and that I had a solid relationship with him. And I have my journal from that time, those couple of years, that it was just really bad. So I kind of wanted to share some scripture. So one way that God met me was through his word, and just his faithfulness, and knowing these words and going to sermons in church every Sunday and in Bible study. I just really immersed myself in him and his people, and I reached my hand out and I cried out to God because I didn't know what to do. I didn't have hope for my marriage. We were just about done. So I wanted to bring a scripture. Luke 6:47 through 48. Thank you. It says, "I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built." And then it goes on to talk about the man who did not have a foundation, and the torrent took his house away. But I just praise God that I had the foundation from the beginning of our marriage, and he had been working all along. So that is one way that God met me in that storm. And then another way is through people, his people. Our pastor and his wife came around us and loved on us. My good friend, she was there with me the whole way, my best friend. And it wasn't getting better. We also went to counseling, marital counseling, and we sought Christian counselors because for us, we wanted that foundation. I made Keith move out for about a week, and when he came back, he didn't even stay in our room. I just made him sleep downstairs, and it was just horrible. And then that was actually Easter Sunday when he came back to live with us. And I praise God for protecting Caleb throughout all of that. We've since spoken to all the kids and told them our story, but Caleb didn't even know that that's what was going on. So I thank God for protecting him in that. But when he came back, it was Easter Sunday, and I was supposed to, in Hawaii, I did praise hula. I was supposed to dance that Sunday, and I said to my girlfriend, I can't do it. I'm so broken. And she said, "Nope, God has you. This is your praise, and this is, you know, you have to give praise to God." So through all of that, I gave praise to God. It was very hard and stumbled, but throughout the time, that was probably about a year and a half that we went through all of those challenges, and I was going to divorce him. I'd found an attorney. I was going to stay in Hawaii with Caleb. I wasn't coming back to Washington, and that was my flesh, though. My flesh was, I don't want to be with this man, but God somehow kept prompting me and saying, "I'm not calling you to leave this marriage. You know, you have to stay in this marriage, and this is a covenant." And I didn't really understand the covenant between God and wife and man until this storm. So I stepped out in faith, trusting God, not trusting man. And through that time, God had showed me so many things. So in the storm, I still found joy in things that he was doing and people around us. Through little things like our BSF in Hawaii was just growing out of the church that it was in, and we didn't have a church to start in the fall. But through the connection of my pastor and my father-in-law's pastor, they would never have met if Keith and I didn't have this storm. But the BSF found a home and a place, you know, and that's just little things and other people being blessed by, you know, faith and my faith and what I was going through. But it was all God doing that through us, through me. So we came back to Hawaii, or back to Washington. I decided to have faith in the Lord and not in myself and trust in the Lord. And we came back to Elim, and it's been amazing ever since. Keith has really grown in his relationship in this past year. I just praise God for the men and Pastor Martin and Stan and the people that have surrounded him, because this journal goes back years, so I was kind of looking through yesterday, and one of my prayers was that God would surround him with godly men, and it's taken 11 years, or 10 years, but amen. I mean, he answers prayers, you know, and if you stay faithful to just seeking him and his word and the people who are God surrounds you with and allowing them, but also reaching out to others. I was able to reach out to others in my time. I went to India on a mission, and God ministered to me through a Nepali girl. She gave me a thank you card, and it said Psalm 147:3, God heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds and he heals the brokenhearted. And that spoke so much to me. She had no idea, but God did. And so that's a little bit of our background.
One of the things that you and Keith shared with me, actually, Keith and I were on a ride down to Morton. We were sitting in this little Subway sandwich shop at the corner of 112 and whatever that highway is that goes down. And he was telling me a story. He said, you know, God had told Corinne, I believe this is what was said, you can correct it if it's not, but God had shared with Corinne, how will he ever know my love for him if you don't show it to him? How will he ever know my grace towards him, Corinne, if you don't give it to him? And is that pretty accurate?
That's, yeah, completely accurate. Although I didn't want to love him back. I know that God loved him, and through sermons and through Bible studies and just little, through prayer, little things, and even a dream. I forgot about this dream until I read my Bible, that God said, you know, you have to love him completely, the good and the bad. And the good is pretty easy to love, but the bad is really hard to love. We can't do it with ourselves. We have to do it with God's love. And so God put on my heart, how will Keith ever know what my love is if you don't show it to him? And that was the hardest thing to do, because I didn't want to love him. But God put this love in my heart for him that really transformed our marriage. It's the best it's ever been. But because Keith had, you know, he can share his story at some point with you if you want to hear, but he has his own past and his own issues and his own life where, you know, where he didn't ever really experience that kind of love. He came from a broken home. Or, well, his parents were divorced when he was 2, and he's okay with me sharing this. But so he didn't really have the idea of what a true love between a man and a wife is, for one. But his dad tried to share God's love, but really Keith had to experience it. And he had always said to me, how can I love a God that I can't see or touch or know? But God used me to use that to love him and love on him with his heart, because that's the only way Keith would really be able to experience it.
And I want to say that's what marriage is about. And no one should ever get married. No one should even date if they're not willing to love another person unconditionally, even when it's hard, even when you don't want to. We want to split the sheets and we want to say, I'm out of here, because it's hard. Mm-hmm. And God says, no, this is not a contract, it is a covenant. And you become the conduit of my grace, my affection for this person, even though they may be difficult to love. You are the picture of me. And that is incredibly powerful, and it's redemptive. So that's my sermon for the morning. Thanks, Corinne.
Sure.
Robert, tell us a little bit about how you came to Elam, buddy.
Well, basically, about 3 years ago, I met Amanda, and we got married, and she had a daughter. And I grew up all the way through high school going to a Methodist church, and I really never felt anything at Methodist church. I went through the motions. We went every week, but it really didn't mean anything. It was a place to go. I wanted to get Dana into Sunday school so that she could have that foundation so that later in life she could make a choice of what she wanted to believe. And I was kind of on the fence. I don't know. I really didn't believe. I've always said I believed in God, but I never felt any connection of any type. We started looking for churches, and we were going to look at several and go back to the ones we liked. Well, we come to Elam. Actually, it was the first church we come to. Well, the first one we didn't stay at. We walked right back out. And everybody here was so kind and so nice, we decided to come back, and we've just stayed. I've had a really, like Martin says, interesting past. I pretty much, when I left home, got into the motorcycle clubs, and Sons of Anarchy, most of you probably have at least seen an episode, isn't too far from the truth of how it is. A lot of things that I regret, and a lot of things that I wish I hadn't been involved in, and I've had nightmares and flashbacks and night terrors for 23 years. Stan, Bob Walsh, Martin, Brian, Nate, Jason Comfort, all of them have really been very supportive and very helpful to me. I broke down here, and I was suicidal. I got up one Saturday night, and was going to go kill myself. And being in the wheelchair, the gate where we live was locked. I couldn't get out of our yard. So I sat in the truck for a few hours and decided, well, I'm just going to go back in and go to church. Well, I come in, and the next morning, come to church. I broke down, and everybody was very considerate and talked to me, and I gave my life to God. I asked God to come in and help. 6 weeks ago, the first Sunday of January, I sat here in the back of the church, and I could hear Martin preach, but his voice got farther and farther away. And the only thing I could see was all the things I've done in the past. I didn't see, you know, the congregation. I didn't see the church. I seen all the terrible things I've done. And I could hear this voice telling me, everybody knows what you've done. They're going to hate you. Leave, run. You don't belong here. The list goes on. And Amanda went, and actually I think got Dave Barnes, and Dave prayed over me and a couple other people. I'm not even sure who was all around. I can't remember. The first thing of that Sunday I actually remember was Martin with the communion, and him standing there, and he gave me the communion, and I took it, and it was like a light switch. All of a sudden, I was back here. Everything was calm. I felt peaceful. Very tired, very wore out. But everything just seemed right in the world. I have been 6 weeks without any nightmares, without any flashbacks. And for 23 years, that has never happened.
Amen.
I've never been more than a day or maybe two without it.
Amen.
God has definitely touched my life, and it's not been easy. It's been a fight. It's been interesting, that's for sure. I've experienced things and seen things that I would have never believed. I feel very fortunate, even though I still have a lot of trials and things going on in my life right now. I am very content. I'm very happy about where I'm at. And I'm very pleased that God has shown me that he's there and he's for me and loves me.
Amen. Amen. This is sermon number two. Never look around and just assume that everything is going okay in people's lives. You know, there is spiritual warfare that goes on. I remember that Sunday that I took the communion back to Robert. And I went back and Dave was praying over him and Bob was there. And I think Jason was there. And I could tell he was struggling, but I had no idea. So I gave him the communion. And I just said, this is the body of Christ that was broken for you, Robert. And this is the blood of Christ that was shed for you. And he took it. And that afternoon I saw his posting on Facebook. And I had no idea the battle that was raging in his life that morning. A demonic battle over his past versus his future. God was saying, come to me. And Satan was saying, no, come to me. One is the path of destruction. The other one is the path to freedom. And that was his Goliath that morning. And he made the right choice. And he made it because he had people like Dave and Jason and Bob around him who were praying with him, who were praying over him, doing battle on his behalf. So never assume that everything is as it appears. When you look around and everybody looks dressed and clean, shaven, and they smell good, and they have their hair combed or their hair cut off, whatever it may be, never presume that everything is as it appears. Okay? Because there are battles that are being waged. Okay? There are battles that are being waged. All right. Back to you, Corinne. As you look at what God has done in your life, what are some of the life lessons that He has taught you through those storms?
First of all, that I'm still a sinner in need of God's grace.
Really?
Yeah. No halo. So, when we came back to Washington and everything, all the challenges that Keith and I had had in Hawaii, a lot of focus was on Keith is a bad person. Mm. Keith sins. And I needed to just, it was good that we came back and away from that because it allowed us to just be. But I had my own secret that I had dealing with depression probably since adolescence. One of my things is shop therapy. And people joke about that, but it can be really bad. So during our storm, I was pretty much done with the marriage. And I would shop. And I got a couple of credit cards. And I figured, we're going to get divorced. I'm going to take them with me, which is, crazy. But, and I just shopped and You know, bought whatever I wanted during that time. I racked up about $15,000 worth of debt. Keith had no clue. So we're back in Washington, and things are starting to get better in our marriage. And I'm starting to feel a little prompting from God. You know,
really?
You got to share, Corinne. You have to come clean. You have to be honest. And you have your own sins that you have to face. And so I was praying about it, and I would pray and pray and say, Lord, show me how. You know, give me the words. Because Keith is very tight with money. And it's been one of the hugest struggles in our marriage. We fought about money probably our entire marriage. And that comes from, you know, issues he has from his past and his past marriage. And, you know, my shop therapy doesn't help. And it made it worse. So I didn't know how to tell him because I knew he would come unglued. Just the arguments we have about money, had about money, I just didn't even want to go there. So I thought, okay, Lord, I know I need to do this, but you got to help me because I don't know what to do. And so I prayed about it and prayed about it. And then Keith's dad and stepmom, they're really strong mentors for us. They called us and told us about a couple at their church that had given a testimony that was similar to ours. And the one thing, and so we went online and we listened to it, and the one thing was transparency that I took out of it. And I wanted that transparency with my husband. So that was just another affirmation. Okay, Corinne, you got to share. So then I knew I was going to do it, and it was after the first of the year by that point, and we decided to refinance our house. And Keith calls me from the road. He had dropped his daughter off in Oregon. Hey, I have the bank on the line, and we want to do the credit check, and we want to refinance the house. And I thought, right now? And I said, do you have to put me on it? Or so the guy did the credit check. Everything went through. It was all fine. But he didn't tell us what the debt was. So I knew that package was coming with our credit report showing my debt. And so it came in the mail, and I sat Keith down, and I told him everything. And it was amazing because the grace and love that God gave Keith through me, he turned it around, and Keith did the same thing for me. We didn't have that argument. He recognized that, and it helped him to see that I'm not perfect either, and that I'm a sinner too, and so we worked on it. And then about a month later, God said, you will have a job. And I just, out of the blue, walked into the Career Center at Fort Lewis, and I went to this, what they call a job club, and just shared. I actually was just going to school. I didn't even want to work. But God provided a job just right there. It was just the right time, right place, met the right person. And he said, hey, I think there's a job that you'd be great for. And I was hired within a month and making, you know, okay money. And we paid off all of our credit card debt. So God provided in all of that. And so it's helped me to see that I want to be transparent with my husband, but I want to be transparent with everyone. I want everybody to know God's light and God's love because he's amazing. He's bigger than I've ever seen. But he's also taught me to trust him first and not people. Trust has been an issue throughout my whole life. So trusting in God through obedience and just showing the mercy and the grace back and forth has helped my trust to just grow. And so now, you know, when I'm faced with a challenge, I know that God has my back. I know God has a plan. I know that he is there and he's been with me through the whole storm. You know, as the song, I think it says, every tear I cry, you hold in your hand. You never left my side. And though my heart was torn, I will praise you in this storm. And I've praised him throughout the whole thing. Another thing is that my identity is first in him and not in being Keith's wife, not in being someone that's not good enough or not loved or not worthy of anything, which is a lot of how I felt throughout our marriage. But God loves me. He showed me. I was praying one morning, and I just had a vision of the people that have surrounded us. And then I just heard God say to me, I love you. You're perfect and wonderful as I created you. You don't have to be anybody else but my daughter, so your identity is in me first.
Amen.
So identity in him, trusting him, and that I still need grace and forgiveness.
And we can all say,
amen.
Amen. Robert, what are some of the things that God is teaching you right now through these times?
I think the main thing is to trust in him. There are a lot of trials and things that I'm going through, and a lot of things that in the past that I would have just thrown my hands up and gave up on and just moved on to the next thing. But he didn't give up on me. I look back in my past and the things I've been through and realize even when I didn't know he was there, he was.
Amen.
There's things I've gone through that people just don't live through once, but several times I've been there. I've been shot 3 times. I've been stabbed. And pretty much walked away from all of them. I could very well be sitting in prison someplace. And by the grace of God, I'm not. Like I said, I can see, looking back on my life, that, like I said, God was there even when I didn't know he was there. He's definitely taught me humility. I never would have used to opened up and talk to anybody about anything. It's not like me. It never was. Even with Amanda, it took a long time before I even told her the really truth of most of it. I loaned to sit down and talk to Stan and Brian and Martin and tell them the things I've done in the past. God has just shown me that there is definitely grace in the world, that that through the love, like through the love he has for me, I've learned to trust and love other people and to try to show that love and patience with other people. It's very hard sometimes, and I'm still a sinner and still struggling with it. But I rejoice that I know that I'm going to get through it, and I know that God's going to support me and God's there for me.
Amen. Amen. I love that thought, that even though I didn't know he was there, he was. Yeah, I can look back and see his fingerprints. I can see where he protected me even though I didn't know. That's the story of any believer. You know, they can look back and say, wow. And that gives us the ability to trust and to have courage even in the midst of the stuff that we're going through now, right? Any stuff you're going through right now and you've wondered, is God present? A year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, you'll be able to look back and say, yes, he was. Yes, he was. And so you just trust that. And God says, look, I told you I would be. I will be with you always. Trust me on that. You know? I got your back. I got your back. Anything else that you guys would like to share with us?
First of all, I just want to thank everybody here at Elim for who you are. And the love that you share with other people and the ministries that we have going. It's really encouraging to see. But I would just encourage anyone who's going through a storm to reach out for God's hand. Reach out into the boat. Let Jesus pull you in. Submerse yourself in God's word and prayer, and any way that you can find to connect yourself with Him through music, through prayer, through people. God has surrounded us for a purpose. He brought me here back to Washington for a purpose. So now, the storm, when Jesus calmed the storm in the boat, He was sleeping, and the disciples were freaking out. Don't you care? We're going to die. We're going to drown. And He calmed the storm and said, you know, where's your faith? And then even after that, after they'd seen Him perform all these miracles, they even said, you know, who is this? Oh, like that. Okay. He said, or they said, who is this? He even calmed storms. So they still didn't quite get it. And so we're in this journey together to get to the other side of the lake and to be where He wants us to be. And there are things that He has for us to do in the midst of it. So while a lot of times it's easy to internalize, and I've many times found pity on myself, it was better for me to reach out to other people, to ask for help, and to help where I was needed. So for me, I just want to offer myself up to anybody who might be going through challenges to talk to pray with, just because God has a plan. He's put us all here for a purpose, and I just praise Him, and I thank Him, and I'm just so grateful, and every day is wonderful because of what He's done. I mean, my marriage is amazing now. It's, you know, we still have challenges. We still have little struggles, and that's normal, but we get through it. So just a big amen and a big praise God for me.
Amen. Anything, Robert?
I would definitely like to thank everybody here at Elam. When we came here, everybody made me feel so welcomed. Even in the beginning, when it was hard just to sit through a service and I didn't feel like I should be here, Stan and a few of the other people here really kept me encouraged and showed me true friendship and love. And I just am really, really thankful for that. And I'm at a point now that I would really like to be able to help other people the way that I've been helped, and to be there to help somebody else, which is, if you would have known me a few years ago, is totally not typical of me. I was definitely a person that was about what I could get from you to help me, not me to help you. Thanks, dear. But I just really feel so fortunate and appreciate so much what God has done and the people that God has put in my life that I feel really blessed.
Thank you guys very much. Appreciate it. You all are a gift. You know, it's interesting that in 1 Samuel 17, that David took 5 smooth stones for one guy. And people ask the question, why is that? Did he not have faith? I don't think that that was it. I think there were a couple of things that were going on. One is this. David didn't know how God was going to solve the problem. And he had no idea. So he just wanted to make sure that he had what he needed to take care of business. Secondly, David also probably knew that Goliath had a couple of brothers. So no victory is going to go unchallenged. So that was my one statement to Robert this week. I said, no victory will go unchallenged. So just keep that in mind. I'm going to invite Mary and Nathan to come on up because I want them to share a little bit about what had happened on this last Monday night at Freezing Nights. It was pretty incredible.
We hosted on Mondays, and I'd asked the family to come early because basically child goes to school, the mom goes to work, and then at 3:30 or whenever school's out, they're homeless. So they go to the library or they go to Denny's or wherever they can hang out until Freezing Night starts at 7 o'clock. And the closest shelter, he goes to the Puyallup School District. The closest shelter is Adams Street in Tacoma. So you have to find your way up in Tacoma, and you have to wait in first come, first serve. So it's really nice that we were able to host Freezing Nights in this area. But they came at 3:30 so that they could just be. And here this boy has had this traumatic experience. Now he has a science project to do. You know, he's still in school. He's still normal, doing normal things. But it was exhausting. He's exhausted, you know, emotionally. And I have to tell you, we have some amazing people at Elam. And we had two young men, Jimmy and Greg. And they assisted this young man with his school project. They represented Jesus. They were Jesus to him. They just were the hands and feet. You know, the little boy was just, I mean, he had to handwrite everything. He had to bring this used board, trifold board. And yet these young men typed out his stuff for him, and they cut out fishes, and they just loved him and encouraged him. And I saw God's redeeming love to this young man. And the words that I said to this young man the night before was, it's easier to live with forgiveness than to walk with bitterness. Telling a 9-year-old boy that is, it's hard because a child is supposed to be a child. But God loves this young man, and he used these two boys to love on him, and it's so redemptive, so redemptive. And there's so many other stories I want to tell you, but I'm going to let Nathan tell you his.
There's one gentleman, a couple, maybe the two, that I have gotten to know a little bit. And they are both people that are not doing well. They're both homeless. And yet in their struggles, they are still going to church. They are trying to find jobs. And they are trying to make a better life for themselves, even though they are at the lowest of the low. And that is just, to me, I can't imagine being homeless. And to see them being homeless and yet still be, I think it was Wednesday night, he comes up to me and he goes, hey, Nathan, can I ask you or talk to you for a second? I said, yeah. And so he pulled me over and he goes, I want to do something to Circle Up. I said, okay, what's that? And he goes, well, I want to ask people if they can remember a Bible verse or tell me their favorite Bible verse. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah, for everybody that can tell me a Bible verse, they will have I have a backpack full of goodies for them, like Snickers bars and stuff. And I said, that's awesome, man. And to see somebody that has so little and is willing to give it away, that is just amazing to me.
So.
I wasn't there for that.
Oh, you weren't there? No. Oh, I was there for that. Did you have to go outside?
No, I was at the pickup site
still. Oh, you were at the pickup site. That's why. That's right. So at Circle Up, I was there at Circle Up. I'm sorry. I didn't know you were at the pickup site. So he did. We had prayer, and I said, you know, this young man has some goodies. And so he did. He boldly asked, who knows Scripture? And to my amazement, they quoted John 3:16. They quoted Psalms. There was life in Circle Up. There was life in Circle Up. There was smiles. And these people we are people, and they know that they some of them know the Lord, and they understand the love of God, and they know that He's walking with them in the midst of their storm. It's their storm, being in the situation that they are. We all have different storms, but to see them excited to acknowledge who God is in the midst of their storm was beautiful. Was beautiful. And I have one more story I have to tell you. We had two young men in their 20s, or mid-20s, and their feet were killing them. One of them said, "You just give me a pair of scissors, I'm going to cut my shirt sleeves off and make me some socks because my feet are hurting." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, let's stop here. Let's wash your feet." So I went into the kitchen, I got the bucket under the sink, and we were in this little hallway, and I proceeded to wash one man's feet. And it was very hard for him. "Why are you doing this?" I said, "Because everybody needs to be loved." And his whole demeanor at first was defensive, and then he melted, and then he was looking at people that would walk by. "I want to be alone. I want to be alone." You know, it was a very, very moving moment for him. And then we were able to get him new shoes and new socks and stuff. But what I saw was a man that needed love. And then when he received that love, his demeanor changed. He slept. Then we had another young man who has diabetes, and so he needs those little checks? And Brian Sharp and his amazing wife are coupon king and queens, and so they had what would be very expensive to acquire, especially for a homeless person. And Emily, my daughter, I didn't know he was diabetic, but when we were doing his feet, he had all these signs, and her medical background picked up on it. But the relief of him to get this equipment, and him saying, "You do not know what this means to me. Nobody would, you know," his heart was, "Nobody, why would anybody do this for us?" And the point is that God cares. God, you know, these people are understanding the love of Christ through the hands and feet of other people. And the ability to love without judgment, the ability to love without anything in return. You know, sometimes we get to say the gospel to them. Sometimes we don't, but our actions speak louder than words. And I just want to acknowledge everybody here. Thank you. From people who buy the oranges and the milk and the juice, to people who donate their time, from the Pulse group to the M&Ms, to the junior hires and to the senior hires. You guys are a blessing, and you're the hands and feet of Jesus, and thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Mary. I have one story I want to tell, and then I'm going to invite Brian to come on up right now. But, on Monday night when I was here, Mary came up to me and she said, "Pray for this gal." And it was her first night at Freezing Nights, and she was probably middle-aged, in her early 40s, and this is her first night. She said her ex-husband dropped her off. Tomorrow she goes into treatment. I had to go through all of her stuff, and I found a jug of alcohol, and I poured it out, and she just lost it. And so we let her in at that point, but she was standing right back there where Nate is, and she was crying. And Mary said, "Would you come and pray with me for her?" So Mary and I went back into the office. We prayed. And between the time that we started praying and the time we finished, she was ushered. Jane Quine had found her, and she took her to a cot right up here. And Jane was sitting on the cot and praying with her and talking with her and calming her. And I thought, this is such raw gospel, and such a multi-dimensional, multicolored way. And I'm going to miss Freezing Nights in April when we're done with it for the year. But I do want to thank everyone, because those who serve here have so much joy, you know, when they're here. And it's just, it's incredible. It's incredible. So let's pray. Father, thank you for all that you are doing. Lord, we have Goliaths in our lives. And Father, for some of us, it may be a marriage. For others, it may be our past. For others, it may be the alcohol that we struggle with, like those at freezing nights. But Father, I pray that just as David fixed his eyes upon God, Father, we would fix our eyes upon Christ. For just as David won the victory for Israel, Christ won the victory for us. And Father, just as David overcame the Philistines, Christ overcame even a bigger foe, and that is Satan. And Lord, we want to live into that victory as your people. So Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. Father, may we continue to trust in that as exemplified by Christ. And all God's people said, Amen.